This is Nora Vasconcelos, and This is Nora Vasconcelos, and you're listening to the Monday Mass.
Thank you, Nora Vasconcelos. You are listening to the Monday Mass. That's right. People call this the world's greatest action sports podcast. And when I say people, I mean I call it that. I'm your host, Chris Cote. And yes, this is in fact, it is a fact because I saw it on the internet. This is the world's greatest action sports podcast. All right, here we go. The Monday Mass is brought to you by Quincy Woodwright's Skateboards and Gnarlywood. Gnarlywood is your business amplifier. They do it all. Logistics, shipping, receiving, warehousing. The stuff that is very difficult when it comes to running a business, they do it, and they do it well. They're the homies, Gnarlywood. And then they got, you know, they have an in-house skateboarding company. Wood, all grown, cut, shaped, everything done right here in the United States of America. I'm talking about Quincy Woodwright's, folks. Go to quincywoodwrights.com and check out their USA wood. I love these boards. Plenty of pop, mini cruisers, shape boards. You know, your stock standard decks. They do them for shops. They do them for brand. Hey, I'm talking about Quincy Woodwrights. Check them out. Thank you for your support of the Monday Mass here on youonline.com, part of the You Podcast Network. So, hey, we got a big show. We don't have time to screw around here with introductions. Let's get right into it. Surf news coming up. Surf news is brought to you by South Coast Surf Shops with 5 shops in the San Diego area. South Coast has you covered. Summer's not over yet. And get this, you can go into the South Coast Surf Shop locations and get yourself some U gear. YEW exclamation point. That's our team. You. Go get yourself some U gear. Of course, you can also get it at the ustore.com. But go to South Coast Surf Shop. Support your local surf shop. All right. San Diego's the San Diego institution, South Coast Surf Shop, bringing you surf news. Hey, I have been at the Vans U.S. Open of Surfing for the last 7 days straight, 24 hours a day, talking surfing, also talking skateboarding, but a lot of surf talk. And this was a QS 10,000 event with huge qualification implications on the line. Also a Women's World Championship Tour event. There was pro juniors in the mix. This is the biggest contest in America. I mean, there was a ton of people there. Over a million, let's just say. There was a million people there. There was a lot of people there. The stands were packed. The pier stacked, rail to rail. The beach, you couldn't even see sand. It was that crowded. And I'm not talking just about the weekend, too. I'm talking Monday to Sunday, packed throughout. So surf fans came out in full force. Let's get into some business here. All right, like I said, I was able to be on the commentary crew for the Vans U.S. Open of Surfing. Thank you, WSL and Vans, for allowing me the pleasure to talk through some of the best surfers in the world, surfing in waves that we can all relate to. I mean, it's fun to watch Pipeline, Chopo, and all. Of course, that's the best. But, hey, watching these surfers doing this kind of surfing in waves that we can all surf nearly every day, that's straight up inspirational. I always surf better after a week of, you know, breaking down and dissecting and analyzing the world's best small wave surfers. Because I surf small. I'm a small wave surfer, if you know what I'm saying. So, again, you can all surf better by watching heats. Don't get that twisted. Let's get right into it. So, the QS 10,000, like I said, this had huge implications going into the rest of the year. There's only 4 QS 10,000s left. These surfers are going for qualification for the World Championship Tour. And here's how it broke down. On the final day, we had Kanoa Igarashi going up against Tomas Hermes. Tomas Hermes is one of my favorite dudes out. He is the nicest, sweetest man you'll ever meet. Always smiling. The dude rips. He was literally right there, about to qualify for the World Championship Tour. Last year, he hurt his foot on the North Shore during the Vans Triple Crown of Surfing. Had to pull out. Dream crashed. And I'll tell you, he's back. He's looking incredible. He made the finals, but he was going up against hard-charging hometown hero Kanoa Igarashi, who at 6 years old, there's footage of him standing on the Huntington Beach Pier saying at six, I'm going to become a pro surfer. I'm going to come back and win this contest. And he did it. In front of a capacity hometown crowd, Kanoa Igarashi with an emotionally charged win. I mean, the thrill and the stoke is real. The crowd was going wild. You know, this was a festival atmosphere. Super fun to watch. Let's listen in to Joe Terpel and Rosie Hodges. They call the beginning of this final between Kanoa Igarashi and Tomas Hermes.
That is a nice number.
Kanoa Igarashi starts the final with a 9.63. Unbelievable start, the best start of the contest, and to do it in the final in front of your hometown crowd is massive.
So there you hear Kanoa Igarashi dropping a high 9 to start off that final. And you know, if Rosie Hodges is giggling like that, something big just happened. So a super fun final to watch. You know, the waves weren't super consistent, but when they came through, they were rippable. And if that surfing didn't get you inspired to go shred small waves, there's a problem. You need to watch that and get yourself fired up and go surfing. Because I believe that's what these contests are for. And it was cool. Kanoa Igarashi walked away with $100,000, 10,000 points, and he's shaking up the ratings on the top of the qualifying series for the men. Here's how they stand right now. On the current QS standings, Jesse Mendez with a huge lead. Michael Freestyle February, one of my personal favorite surfers from South Africa, 6'3", sickest style. Second place on the QS with a big result here at the Vans US Open of Surfing. Igarashi moves up to third. He moved up 66 spots. That's how important these QS 10,000 events are for our potential qualifiers. Tomas Hermes, heavy jump as well. 33 spots up to number four. Griffin Colapinto, the ripper, San Clemente, California, teenager. Hoping to qualify this year, and he's looking good so far. He's in fifth place. There was also Women's Championship Tour surfing happening at the Vans US Open of Surfing. And I tell you, more emotions flying. Sage Erickson went up against Tatiana Westenweb in the final. Tatiana Westenweb won this event last year, and she was looking strong. Sage Erickson, who's kind of been the perennial middle ground surfer, dealing with a lot of self-belief issues, just thinking, I'm good, but I'm not that good. She is that good. She's been getting coached by Tommy Whitaker, veteran, championship tour surfer. And through the coaching, through getting some new surfboards from Channel Islands, through just her own ability to tap into what... There are reserves of self-belief and kind of positivity, power, thoughts somewhere in all of our minds. Sage Erickson tapped into that. This has been her best competitive year yet. She paddled out inspired, ripping from beginning to end, taking a huge win. People crying on the beach. I'm almost crying. I mean, this was huge. It was an emotional win, not only for Sage, but for all Sage Erickson fans out there. I consider myself one of those. Sage Erickson jumps up the rankings. Tyler Wright's still in the lead, but it's all tightening up. You got Sally Fitzgibbons right there. You got Courtney Conlogue there. Joanne DeFay's right. I mean, that the top of the ratings, the Jeep ratings, if you will, on the Women's World Championship Tour is getting wild. So we're going to keep our eye on that. Speaking of championship tour surfing, drum roll, please. We've got Tahiti coming down the pipe. That's what I'm talking about. The Billabong Pro Tahiti is August 11th, right around the corner. It's like if you're in a dark alley and you look around the corner and you see a big, scary dude, and he's looking angry, and you got to go past that guy to get to where you're going. That's what these surfers are feeling right now, because swell is on the way, folks. Tahiti is going to be pumping. And I had access to some WSL commentators like Strider Wasilewski, who's right here to give me his forecast, his outlook of what's going to happen in the Billabong Pro Tahiti. Strider, what's up?
Good morning. This is Strider Wasilewski, and we just looked at the forecast for Surfline for Tahiti, the Chopu contest, stop number 7 on the World Championship Tour, and it looks like it's going to be pumping right off the bat. The 12th and 13th with northeast winds. Are you kidding me? 2.5 meters? This is John all day long. Another battle, I'd say, between possibly John and Gabriel Medina somewhere along the line, hopefully in the finals, with John on top.
And there's the call. Strider Wasilewski claiming that we're going to see Gabriel Medina and John Florence in the finals with John taking the win, and that's a good call to make. Never bet against John Florence when the waves are barreling anywhere. Or just don't bet against him at all, ever. Kelly Slater, you know, with that injury, he just recently got foot surgery. He will not be competing. That leaves the door a little bit more open for John, Gabriel Medina, Matt Wilkinson, the leaders on the World Championship Tour. So it's going to be fun to watch. When Chopo is pumping, I mean, that is a spectacle to behold. Strider will be in the channel along with our next guest here on Monday Mass. This is his Monday Mass debut. So to give us an overview, what we've seen and what we're going to see next on the World Championship Tour, we've got the one and only, the silky smooth, the golden voice of surfing, Joe Terpel.
Well, first off, thank you, Chris, for having on Monday Mass. It's been a special year on the Championship Tour for many reasons. I mean, going back to before the season started, we saw the top 34 roster and we're going, okay, is this maybe the best field we've had competitively for guys fighting for a world title? Just going back to Kelly's commitment for Title 12 before this injury he recently had, Mick Fanning saying, okay, I'm going to every event this year, and that was a big statement. And then also as a celebration of the return of Owen Wright and Pete Durbidge. And then the start of the year, we probably saw the greatest comeback in sporting history with Owen taking snapper for the first time in his career, the best result he's ever had there, and kicking off the season, world number one. Going into West Oz, we saw Owen's form still solid, so it wasn't just one breakthrough event that he was going to call his personal best that season. He had more for us for the title race. John, though, just rewrote how to perform on an old-school wave called Margaret River Main Break. That wave is a wave that some of the world's best say they don't like to go to perform on. The way John surfs it, you know, we really hope it stays on tour for a long time. Jordy taking bells. It was an event that you just wanted to give Jordy the trophy for a long time, because his early round performances over the years were sometimes the best we've seen there in modern day bells times, where he's radical, powerful. So a well-deserved win for Jordy. Then we go to Brazil, and Adriano's back after kind of the recovery from his world title from last year. It showed that the world champ still's got a ton of fire to mix it up. And what we're noticing here, we've got a different event winner at every stop so far. And then Fiji rolls around. Matt Wilkinson all of a sudden comes from nowhere, makes back-to-back finals in the last 2 years at Cloudbreak, wins this time in a final over Conor O'Leary, and that just proved that you've got to mention Wilco when it comes to favorites on the big lefts on tour, especially Cloudbreak, taking the yellow jersey, heading into J-Bay for the second year in the row. And then we show up to J-Bay, and Felipe Toledo changes everything. 2 10s on the way to the final. There's 8 10s in the contest. We're talking maybe the best forecast we've ever had for that event. And Felipe all of a sudden adds a 6th winner on what's been an exciting year on the championship tour. So now after the halfway mark, Tahiti coming up next, lowers. We've got the European leg and pipeline. And we see a kind of a traffic jam in the top 5. you know, Wilco's number one in the world again. It's huge. John Florence right behind him, Jordy Smith, then Owen Wright, and DeSouza. So think into the guy's chances in Tahiti. You go straight to John as a chance to take over yellow before Lowers. And then you get to Lowers, and it opens it up for guys like Felipe Toledo possibly being the favorite to finally take that event. So when you look at the top five, there's some guys that can maybe get a title for the first time. And now the guys that I'm kind of thinking, can they salvage their year? First guy to come to mind, Gabriel Medina. He's a good surfer to recover his title race in the back half. He's dangerous in Europe. He's dangerous in Tahiti. He's nuts at Pipe. Couple of finals there. So I would watch Medina as a guy that will not only salvage his year, but maybe give himself a fighting shot coming into Pipe for a title. Same kind of story with Mick Fanning. Outside the top 10, he's going for a fourth world title. Lowers is one of his favorite events on the calendar. And I think sometimes we forget he's won Tahiti. So he's got that as well. Lowers a little bit more consistent with his wins. So it's been a really exciting year. We've had great waves. And it's pretty hard to pick a favorite for the world title. I can't get off this Toledo train from what he did at Jay Bay. And I think he has a lot more to show us in the end of the season, and I think it might be his year to be number one in the world after Pipe. Thanks, Chris. See you soon, buddy.
Hey, it's hard not to jump on the Felipe Toledo train, I'll tell you that. Thank you, Joe Terpel, for giving us your insight. That's all off the top of his head. That's how good he is. The voice of surfing, Joe Terpel. That's been Surf News, August 11th. World Championship Tour surfers head to Tahiti. The end of the road. Chopo, a place named after getting your head chopped off. It's going to be epic. We know there's waves coming. Hopefully it all comes together. We want to see a good contest. Hey, and if it Jay Bay was amazing, if we can best that, Chopo, we're in for a show. Go to worldsurfleague.com. You know what? Get the app. I'm not even being paid to say that right now. I was, but now I'm not. I mean, I was last week, but you can get the app. Just get it. I have it. We should all have it. That way we know what's up. And that's your surf news for the Monday Mass, the world's greatest action sports podcast. So from here, let's go to some frozen water. That's called snow. This is snow news. Yeah. Snow news is brought to you by Tory Holistics. I am a true believer in CBD oils, folks. Hallelujah. Anti-inflammatory, anti-anxiety. After a long week at the Vans US Open of Surfing, I'm going to need some CBDs, and I get mine at Tory Holistics. Check them out on the internet, Tory Holistics, at Tory Holistics too on Instagram. Yeah, check it. Here's snow news. And you know what? I was, like I said, I was in a tent on the beach in 100 degree temperatures, not thinking about snow, but luckily I've got a guy, a correspondent for the Monday Mass. Todd Richards is back with snow news. Todd, what's the word on that white frozen stuff you slide on?
In snowboard news, it's snowing in the Southern Hemisphere right now, which is a great thing because there's a lot of people ramping up to head down there. The New Zealand Open is coming up here in August, so there'll be a ton of people heading down there for that. The basic kickoff of the 2017-2018 the contest series, it's going to start in New Zealand. And man, this next contest year is going to be a busy one because there's so many different competitions all leading up to the Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea. But that'll be going down in February. So everyone's heading down there right now to get their Southern Hemisphere shred on. And see, in other snowboard news, I got in an argument with about 35 16-year-olds on the Instagram the other day because I pointed out that the trick that all these new up-and-coming kids are calling a Japan Air on a snowboard is, in fact, not a Japan Air, but a pelvic thrusting maneuver. And I pointed it out, and they didn't like it. So they got really angry with me. But you know what? I was right. So there. So that's it. That's all I got for snowboard news. I'm sure there's tons of other stuff going on, but yeah, it's summertime. Stop thinking about snowboarding. It's really hot out. Bye.
Kids, don't battle Todd Richards when it comes to naming grabs. He's been grabbing his snowboard since before your parents were having sex and making you. Since your dad talked your mom into doing it and making a baby. Todd was grabbing his snowboard while your parents were dating. You know, while he was giving her a couple Michelob lights and taking her to the hotel. This is weird. So, yeah, thanks, Todd. Todd Richards giving us the snow news. And, you know, we've been hearing some rumors swirling we hope aren't true. High Cascade Snowboard Camp changes. What's up? We're going to have Corey Mack from High Cascade Snowboard Camp, our man on Mount Hood. He's going to call in next week to give us the update as to what's up with the world's most awesome summer snowboarding camp, High Cascade Snow Camp. We're not going to even throw anything out there because we don't know what's going on. I'm in Encinitas, California. He's way up there on Mount Hood. So he's going to call in next week and give us the rundown as to what's up with High Cascade Snowboarding Camp. In other news, yeah, there's probably still snow in Mammoth. go up there. Tell me about it. Call me and tell me the snow news. That's been your snow news. This is the world's greatest action sports podcast, and we're about to go into the world's greatest skate news segment you've ever heard in your life. Let's go to skate news. It's a long way to skate news. It's all about Vans Park Series that went down in Huntington Beach as part of the Vans U.S. Open of Surfing. I got the privilege to talk not only surf, but also skate. I've been on the Vans Park Series tour from day one. So this is the fifth stop on the Vans Park Series, the last chance for our tour challengers to qualify to go compete in the World Championships, Shanghai, China, September 23rd. I'll be there. Can't wait. Here's how it works. So on the Vans Park Series, we have VPS Pros, Vans Park Series Select Pros. These are guys hand-selected, preseeded into the semifinals. They don't have to do preliminaries or anything like that. They're preseeded into the finals. They still got to qualify for the finals, but you know what I'm saying. And then we have Tour Challengers. Tour Challengers, guys like Tom Schaar, Carl Berglund, CJ Collins. These are skaters that need to skate through the prelims into the semis, hopefully into the finals. And they have skated in all these events around the world in order to qualify for the World Championships coming up. So that's how it goes down, right? The event in Huntington Beach, the last stop, was epic all week. Started with the Continental Championships where we saw Patrick Ryan take the win for the men's. And on the women's side, it was Dora Varela. So they will be competing in Shanghai, China at the World Championships along with the other Continental Championship tour stop winners. And then it was the women's time to shred. A super fun event to watch because the park was just perfect. And the women attacked. Top three were, two of them are from Encinitas, literally three blocks away from where I'm recording this podcast right now. Brighton Zoyner took the win again. She's one of the most dominant park skaters on the planet. She just turned 13 years old. You don't even want to know what I was trying to figure out when I was 13 years old. This gal's winning contests. She won X Games. She is our reigning world champion. That was when she was 12. Now she's 13. She's winning Vans Park Series Huntington Beach. Second place was another skater out of Encinitas, California, Bryce Wettstein. Yeah, Bryce. This lady, she's a teenager too. She rips surfing and skating. She actually rides for Encinitas Surfboards, a surf shop on one side of her helmet, and Mike McGill's skate shop, a skate shop. She's that good. And she got second place. In third place, one of my personal favorite skaters, one of my favorite people in general, ever stylish, often on the board, always smiling. She's so rad. She introduced the show, Nora Vasconcelos, and I had a conversation with her just after the contest. She got third place. She was trying a backside tail slide through the corner in the deep end, almost made it. And she calls herself a non-contest skater. She doesn't even consider herself a threat when the timer starts, but she ripped. I talked to Nora on the deck right after she got third place and solidified her spot in the World Championships in Shanghai, China. Here's Nora Vasconcelos. I also had to ask her about King of the Road because I'm a huge King of the Road fan. Here's Nora. Or Vasconcelos, is that how a non-contest skater comes into a contest and just kicks its ass?
I wouldn't know because I don't do well because I'm a non-contest.
Yes, you do.
I don't know. I think, you know, you just try to play your cards right and you see how good everyone else is skating. You get stoked. You know, me and a lot of the girls have been coming and watching the guys and seeing their approach on the park because this year it's like really versatile and the deep end is really, really good. I don't know. I think you just got to get psyched on yourself, and no matter what, if you're not enjoying yourself, you're not going to do well. So,
you know, in surfing, they have the term, the surfer who's having the most fun is the best.
Totally.
It looked like you're having a lot of fun out there, and that translated to really fun skating to watch.
Totally. I've been really sick all year, and the last 2-3 months have been really difficult. So just to be somewhat healthy and skating with my friends in the sun, it's just really helpful in having that attitude. So I'm just stoked to be here.
And totally different topic. I'm a huge King of the Road fan.
Oh, God.
And we're getting down to the wire here. I've watched every single episode.
I don't say nothing.
I'm not trying to get a spoiler. Just tell me, like, what was your experience like on King of the Road? It looked amazing.
King of the Road was fantastic. I, like, when Burnett hit me up about that, he was definitely feeling me out on it. And I was like, dude, no hesitation. Are you kidding me? Like, to be a mystery guest, are you serious? So it was unreal. I felt like having Lacey and Samaria in it with me as well was really fun because we're all really close. And yeah, it was just like, I'm best friends with all those guys now. It's just one of those things that it's like a life goal, total life goal.
Life hammer for sure.
Life hammer, yep.
Love her. Super crush on Nora Vasconcelos, and she's just the raddest. Always so fun to watch skate. Look her up. Watch her stuff on the internet. She rips. She'll get you psyched to skate. And we're going to see her in Shanghai, China. How cool is that? Yo, this contest was more than just a contest going on in the park. You looked up in the stands, and it was the who's who. I'm talking legends on legends on legends. They were everywhere. Danny Way, Chris Markovich. There was Sodis, Kyle Walker, Ashad Ware was there. I mean, it was fan out central for a guy like me. And after the event, I was looking around, and who did I see? Holmes himself. Had to get the reaction from Christian Hosoi about Vans Park Series. Here's Hosoi giving his stamp of approval for this event.
I think that, you know, skateboarding is always going to be radical. It's always going to be fun. But these guys are definitely pushing the boundaries and the limitations of what, you know, in our minds we thought was impossible. And so for me, the progression of skateboarding has really grown, and these guys are taking it to that next level. And I'm very proud of, you know, these younger kids that are coming up, because they're actually getting smoother, more powerful, picking tricks that are based on finesse versus technicality only. But then they're also adding technical skateboarding to it, which is giving you this rounded, you know, hybrid skateboarder that I think is our future. And so, but I'm all about power, style, height, and speed. So those are usually always my favorites. But, you know, it's great to see these kids pushing the limits, taking chances, and doing it in the contest. And that's always great to see.
So Hosoi, of course, right there, just telling it like it is. Progression through the roof. Before we get to Jeff Rowley. Yes, we have Jeff Rowley on the Monday Mass. Let's just listen in to the final run from our eventual winner, Tom Schaar. This is myself and Neil Hendricks on the call. Here we go. Tom Schaar, your current leader, his third run, 40 seconds on the clock. Let's see it, Tom Schaar.
Tom Schaar knows that there's a few guys that could steal this lead from him. He needs to up that score. Gosh, he powered around that nose grab 540. Looked like he was under-rotated.
Tom Schaar is spitting fire.
Really floaty on the alley-oop backside ollie. Every one of his tricks is just boosted to the max. Kickflip Indy onto the bank. Definitely adding some difficulty there. Right. Tweaking out the stale fish. You can tell the crowd loves that one.
Gap up the lip.
Are you kidding me? This is going to up his score even more. Do we have a score in the 90s?
Good night. And we did indeed have a score up in the 90s. Tom Schaar blasting his way to yet another win on Vans Park Series. And he, you know, he was a little injured, and he basically was saying he can't really run out of tricks without a lot of discomfort. So he just went ahead and just pulled everything. He was doing like 8 foot high, 540s. I mean, every trick he did and every run just got bigger and better, and it was super fun to watch. But you know what? Yo, don't take my word for it. Take it from one of the greatest skateboarders of all time, Jeff Rowley.
Okay. Hello, I'm Jeff Rowley, and we're at the Park Series in Huntington Beach. This contest is absolutely the most progressive contest series that we have in skateboarding right now. Without it, we wouldn't be able to see all of this progression that we're seeing all over the internet, everything like that. This contest houses all of that progression and creativity that's happening right now. It's awesome.
There's that was Tom Shaw for the win.
Tom Shaw killed it. So much power, right? So much power in skateboarding. It's awesome to see. See, I've been on the road like all year touring for skate, filming like crazy. I've been freaking China, Hong Kong, Germany, Barcelona, all over the place. So I haven't been at these Park Series events. This is the first one I've been to this year. So I'm seeing all of that progression here now, more focused on street skating. It's blowing me away. It's great. It gets me stoked. Yeah.
Jeff Rowley, Vance Park Series super fan, and I'm a super Jeff Rowley fan. To have him on the Monday Mass Day, that's tight. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Rowley? Well, thanks, Jeff. We're bros. It's all good. So, yeah, of course, we are all going to Shanghai, China on the Vance Park Series, September 23rd. But before that, hey, there's tons of skating happening all around us at all times. But one event that you, if you're in the San Diego area, you must come check out. I'm talking about Clash at Claremont. And I have Mike Rogers. Mike Rogers, the ultimate homie. Mike Rogers, this is a big event for Mike, and he's going to tell you more about it. What's up, Mike?
All right, everybody. This is Mike Rogers from Grind for Life. This Saturday coming up, we have the world-famous Clash at Claremont. It's one of the best bro fests in skateboarding. We raise money to help people with cancer, and we help money to build new ramps at the Y. $10 donation, best time of your life, help save people's lives. We hope to see everybody there. Thank you, everybody, for all your support.
Mike Rogers rules. This dude fought and won a heavy battle over cancer. And his foundation, grindforlife.org, check them. They actually help people get transportation, and you know they take care of logistical costs of getting people cancer treatment. So through skateboarding, Mike Rogers making a huge difference, helping people. Go to Clash at Claremont if you can. If you cannot, go to grindforlife.org and see how you can, you know, help out with this dude's a superhero, and he's the raddest guy ever. And I'm a huge Mike Rogers fan. So Grind for Life, like I said, helping people with cancer through skateboarding, and that rules. We love you, Mike Rogers. Yes. All right, that's been Skate News. Skate News brought to you by Master Plan PR, my friends. Public relations, communications, Master Plan PR rules. There's a reason why this is the fastest growing action sports podcast on the planet. It's because they're spreading the good word. They're getting it out there. Master Plan PR, at Master Plan PR. Does your business need a kickstart? Master Plan PR can do this. That's been Skate News. This has been the Monday Mass, the world's greatest action sports podcast. Before we go, let's make sure to say thank you to World Surf League and Vans, as per usual, for allowing me the privilege, for paying me to talk about surfing and skateboarding all week. How cool is that? And I want to say a genuine, sincere thank you to my good friend, Matt Ramirez, who I've been working with at Vans forever. Matt Ramirez is moving to Buffalo, New York. Bring a sweater, buddy. Love you, Matt. Thank you for backing me all these years. Matt Ramirez, I'll text you later. We're going to still be friends. So thanks, Matt. What else is going on? Hey, Cantori and you. Check out his latest episode with Izzy Paskowitz. Cantori and You is a podcast here on the You Podcast Network. And man, Chris Cantori, you're the best. Chris Cantori gave me a kick in the ass to get the Monday Mass going, and And I thank you. And if you're a Monday Mass fan, you should thank him too. What else we got on You Online? We got Let Me Drink About It, a show for those of you beer drinkers out there who like to get into it. You know, we got Leah telling us about the hops and whatnot. Let Me Drink About It, another great show on youonline.com. Go to youonline.com for all your needs, whether it's music, Mexican food, beer, cannabis, Monday Mass, all this action, all the cool stuff you want to hear about. What else we? Oh, yo, I got a solo show, C-Bot and the Paperwork, August 10th. That's going to go down at the Saddle Bar. This is myself with a guitar, with some pedals, with some weird stuff happening. I don't know. You might like it. Most likely you won't. Cut You Up, my band Cut You Up, is playing August 12th. We've actually got a whole tour. Are we on tour? Follow at Cut You Up Music for updates. August 12th, we'll be playing down at the Lafayette Hotel as part of Tan Lines. Cut You Up, art from people like Steve Caballero and friends, and a bikini fashion show, pool, the whole vibe. Are you kidding me? You're gonna want to be there. August 12th. Follow me on Instagram at Chris Cote. Go to youstore.com to get your gear. Your gear. Thanks to all the listeners out there. Be sure to tell your friends, rate and review the Monday Mass podcast, and make sure we remain the world's greatest action sports podcast. Thank you. Bye.